Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to share a near-death experience of a man named Mark. His experience happened when he was 5 years old. This is from his YouTube channel, so you're going to get to hear it in his voice today. And I don't know his last name, but his YouTube channel is Supportahol, kind of like a cross between support and alcohol. I don't know if that's, you know, the combination that's intended or not, but Supportahol is his YouTube channel if you want to go check it out. But his experience is very much in line with the things that we've shared in the past and that we're continually sharing on this podcast. So without further ado, here is Mark on his near-death experience.
Hey, everybody. As you've just read above, this topic is kind of unusual. But it's not one of those topics that is uncommon. This took a lot of courage to do and to make. I don't want to go on too much about it because I'm limited. I'm just watching my time there. So, excuse me. This video is about my own near-death experience. Now, I've kept this secret for many, many years. Myself and Nigel spent maybe 3 hours discussing it last night because I even kept it secret from him. It's something that happened to me when I was 5 years old. And it's very kind of tricky to get into the details of it because it was just so magnificent. It's very hard to explain, like, without having someone here to, you know, to draw the pictures so that I can show you guys, and I can't draw it, so everything that you're about to hear is 100% true. None of it has been exaggerated, and I think that it was about time that I shared this experience with you guys. This was not a dream. This was not something that I saw on TV when I was 5 years old, and, you know, as the years go on, it kind of sticks in the head, and then you try to start make sense out of it by making up some strange story. Everything you're about to hear is real, and I believe to be 100% true. Here I go. When I was 5 years old, I was left with my grandfather to mind me while my mom went out to get food shopping. I was very young at the time, 5 years old, of course, and all the rest of my younger sister was in hospital at the time. And I can remember being left alone with my grandfather. And, like I said, my mom went off shopping and stuff. I was sitting in my grandfather's living room on the chair. The legs were dangling off the chair. And he told me to stay there. Stay there. He must go somewhere. I think he had to go maybe to the bathroom. I was told, stay there. So he left the room. And, of course, I didn't stay where I was told to stay. There was a dresser in the corner of the room. And this dresser contained all sorts of stuff. There was a library of different kinds of things on top that I couldn't quite make out, but I knew that there was something there that I should go and investigate. So I dragged the chair over, hopped on top of the chair, and next thing I remember, I was looking at all these different bottles of sweets, and there was booklets, there was a comb, there was all sorts of stuff. Now, before I continue, lads, we all remember stuff, and we all remember stuff that goes back a long, long time ago. I have an incredible memory. So, just in case you're wondering, how does he remember there was a comb there? I did. And I do remember that. But anywho, I was looking at the bottles and I was shaking them, and next thing I heard my grandfather coming down the stairs, so I dropped what I was doing, I jumped off of the chair, and I dragged the chair over to where it was, and I sat back down again. But my grandfather didn't come in. So I listened at the door, and I thought, okay, now's my chance to continue investigating. So I dragged the chair over again, jumped on top, and I was looking at all these bottles and things. And then I saw the drawer that was just underneath. So I pulled open the drawer, and I found a bottle inside there of Smarties. So I listened for my grandfather again, and I remember I shook the bottle, and I looked up, and I saw all of these Smarties in there. So I just popped open the cover, and I swallowed the entire bottle. So, I was chewing as well. I remember I was chewing. So, I remember getting down again off of the chair. I dropped the bottle, and I remember I went, ugh, and I spat out the remainder of what was there. Now, I know I swallowed nearly all of the tablets, but I did chew some of them as I was swallowing them, and the next thing I knew, I was in somebody's arms. And that, it was like holding someone underneath your arms, you know, and you're running with them. So I just remember it was bouncing up and down, and I remember I saw the garden gate passing by. So I was in someone's arms like that, and I was bobbing up and down, and next thing I knew, there was a giant waterfall. Now, I was in this place where that was so peaceful, and I know people say that when you have a near-death experience that you can't feel wind and stuff like that, but there was warmth there. There was people everywhere. You couldn't see their faces. You could only see the outline. It's very hard to explain now. This is where it gets tricky, and I better hurry on because you know the time. But you could see the outline of people's faces, but you couldn't see the faces themselves. It was like there was a glow about everyone. They were wearing clothes, but you could only see the outline of the clothes. Now this particular, the waterfall, I mean, it was so big that you couldn't see the top. And it was so wide that it stretched on for miles and miles and miles. You couldn't see where it began and where it started. The water was a very light blue color, but you could see through it. And I remember I was interested to see what was at the top. Now, I wasn't walking, I was floating. It's so hard to explain, really. This waterfall was just absolutely gigantic. Now, if you think of Niagara Falls, it was Niagara Falls multiplied by about 50,000 bazillion. It was so big that I can't explain, but there was something at the top of the waterfall, and there was people everywhere. There was I don't remember seeing any babies there. I don't remember seeing any children there, but I do remember seeing just people. I couldn't tell if they were men or women or anything, but they were a lot taller than what you would expect a child or a baby to be. But there was a singing kind of a thing as well, and I know this is traditional for most people who have had these NDEs or near-death experiences, but there was a singing coming from the top of the waterfall, the top in which I could not see, but there was a singing coming from there, and I was very anxious to get well, to see what was at the top, but I wasn't able to see it or to get to it. But I really, really wanted to go there, and I remember there was an incredible feeling of love, and there was like, I wasn't frightened and I wasn't panicking or anything. It just felt right, and you know, there was a wall as well at the very end of, I could see the end, well, I could see the water come down, I could see the end of the waterfall because it was right in front of me. But there was a wall, and it wasn't very high, and it spread as far as you could imagine, and it was going, it was sort of like to stop people from jumping in, but it was pretty, and you know, and it just stretched right to the very end of it, even though I couldn't see the end, and it was just there all the way across. And I just remember I was completely and utterly kind of amazed by the size and the length of this gigantic waterfall. Even though I couldn't see the people's faces, because they were like, there was a bright light shining from all the faces. You could see the outline, the bright light was shining from their clothes. But for some strange reason, that didn't really, it didn't shock me or bother me or anything, you know. The next thing I knew, I was in the hospital. It was like swish. I was there, then I wasn't. What happened was, I swallowed a bottle of my grandfather's heart tablets. I had ingested quite a few of them, but they shoved a pipe down my throat and they sucked out everything that they could get. Somewhere along the line, I died. But when my mother arrived at my grandfather's house, and I wasn't there because I was rushed over to the hospital, one of the neighbors was made alert and held me underneath her arms, and I was put into a car and driven over to the hospital. But whether I died or not was not told to my mom. My father was told all the details, but he never told my mom. But I leave it up to you to judge what went on. When I was passing that garden gate, something did happen. And I stand by my word, and I remember this as clear as the day it happened. It's a very vivid, very strong memory that has stuck with me since I was 5 years old. I'm 33 years old now, almost 33 years old. We all forget stuff. We forget dreams within a day or so. This was not a dream, and I firmly stand with my word that it was a true near-death experience, and it's some, and because of the people that sucked the tablets out of me, and just the doctors and nurses and whatever the hell they did over there, I was brought back. So I leave it up to you to decide. I've always wondered where that place was, but anyway, Well, by the way, I must add, there was no sky either. It was just bright. Very, very bright. Anyway, that's my near-death experience, guys. And I hope I don't lose all my subscribers and friends over this. But, you know, there you go. I love you all. Be good.
Okay, very interesting experience. Very interesting. And if there's one thing I've noticed about near-death experiences, it's that so many of the elements, when they describe them, there's kind of a roadblock that we all run into in that we just can't comprehend the level that we're talking about. So when people talk, for example, about a light that's brighter than like a million suns, I mean, what does that even mean? What, you know, the sun is the brightest thing that we have to relate to. And a million of them? I mean, if you're even, say, five times brighter than the sun, that would be hard for us to comprehend. And to say, you know, a million times, you know, the brightness of the sun, I mean, what does that even mean? And Mark here describes a waterfall that he saw that was just huge. And he just keeps talking about how big it is. And, you know, and then he tries to describe the size of it by saying multiply, you know, like Niagara Falls multiplied by, and I think he said, you know, a trillion or something. You know, it's like this thing was big beyond comparison. Basically, you can't comprehend that. And that seems to be common in near-death experiences with descriptions, you know. Love times a thousand, you know, the greatest love that you can have here times a thousand, the brightest you've ever seen times a million, you know, the biggest you've ever seen times a trillion. I mean, it sounds like a waterfall roughly the size of the universe, and that sounds crazy to us, and yet that kind of description is so common that, you know, I've got to believe it. I mean, I can't not believe it when I hear this kind of description where it's just like beyond words. That ineffability is an element of the near-death experience that we run into in almost every near-death experience, this inability to describe in words. Another thing that I find interesting is in his experience, first off, he doesn't see any children. That seems common, though it's not universal. There are many people who see children on the other side, especially when they see Jesus mingling with people. He sees them mingling with children. That just seems to be a thing with Jesus. But it is common for people to not see children in their experience. And whether that is because the spirits of the children are mature and therefore he's seeing them in their mature prime, or whether he's just not in a place where children really want to be, I don't know. I don't, you know, that there's some question there about whether children are, you know, in spirit form, if they are children in spirit form, and yet it's seen sometimes. So why is it seen sometimes and not seen at other times? I'm not sure. But it's cool and it's interesting, and no doubt there are children on the other side, but where they fit in terms of how they look and who sees them and so forth, I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't got enough data on that yet. Another thing I find interesting is that he mentions that their faces seem to be indistinguishable, or I don't remember the wording that he used, but it sounded like they had faces, but they were like silhouetted or something to where he couldn't quite make out who they were. That seems fairly common too. And again, it's hard to say whether that's because the light was so bright that you couldn't see the features, or whether they were just not the focus of attention is unclear. And he doesn't seem to specify if he even knew, you know, so very interesting. But there was, as he said, you know, a very comfortable, loving, warm place. He describes tactileness being, while he starts to describe tactileness and and goes on to say, but there was definite warmth about the place. It was warm and comfortable and so forth. And so, you know, I find it interesting how some people have very tactile experiences and then others just not. And though they may describe, you know, feeling like they're moving very quickly, and yet they say, but there was no wind. And others say there was a great deal of wind, but it wasn't like painful or cold or anything like that, or uncomfortable in any way. Anyway, very interesting experience. Very interesting. If you would like to share your near-death experience, or if you have a video of you sharing your near-death experience that you would like me to put on the podcast, go ahead and send me a link, or you can just record your voice telling the experience by calling 970-NDE-CAST, or you can record it on your smartphone and then send it to me by neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you just have a question or comment, please share it. If you would like to support the podcast financially, you can do that by going to patreon.com/NDEcast. And there you can become a monthly contributor. And once again, thank you, all of you, again so much for listening.